thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Got two today.
Here's John Williams.
Here we go. Let's see if along the way you can tell which ones they are. It's 109. This is John. Thanks for joining us. We're in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. I'll be here until 3 o'clock. I'm here Saturdays, by the way, from 10 to noon. A young man named David is shadowing this show, having heard that the Game of Thrones, Iron Throne, is in Chicago just down the street. We sent him over to cover it. We'll visit with David. If you are a Game of Thrones fan and you want to get your picture taken while sitting in the actual Game of Thrones throne, it's on Michigan Avenue until about 6 or 7 o'clock this evening at the AT&T store. We sent David over there. He'll check in, let us know what the lines are like and how that goes. If you know someone that wants to do that, stick around. We'll visit with Dave in about 10, 15 minutes. It was on October 15th of 2003. October 15th, 2003. Game 6 of the National League Championship Series. The Cubs were winning and 5 outs away from their first pennant in 58 years. And you know what happened next. The Cubs left fielder Moises Alou reached up for a foul ball that was instead caught by a fan named Steve Bartman. And remember, Alou reacted angrily. The game and series came undone, and the Marlins advanced, this time leaving the Cubs with a new curse of the foul ball guy. Steve Bartman has since spoke not a public word about it. And today, after having won the World Series last year, and by the way, do you still marvel sometimes when you say that? The Cubs have announced that they're going to give Bartman an official 2016 World Series championship ring, as you just heard in WGN Radio News. The Cubs said, in part, we hope this provides closure on an unfortunate chapter of the story that is perpetuated throughout our quest to win a long-awaited World Series. While no gesture can fully lift the public burden he has endured for more than a decade, we felt it was important. Steve knows he has been and continues to be fully embraced by this organization. After all he has sacrificed, we are proud to recognize Steve Bartman with this gift today. They're treating him nicer than they did Sammy Sosa. Steve Bartman issued the following statement: although I do not consider myself worthy of such an honor. And by the way, this is Bartman's statement. And my question for you is, was this a good idea or not? The man who only wants to be left alone is once again being talked about and associated with the 03 Championship Series. So maybe no good deed goes unpunished. I reached out to a couple friends of mine before the show, both big Cubs fans. The first one said, I wish they would just leave him alone. The other one said, yawn, really? The Cubs, you're doing this? Do you think this is a nice idea and well executed, or do you think the Cubs should not have done this? I'm wondering what your thought is. You can text or call right now, 981-7200, 312-981-7200. I think the big takeaway, though, from this story is in part Bartman's statement itself. Listen to what Steve Bartman says, or by that I mean he and Frank Murtha say. Although I do not consider myself worthy of such an honor, I am deeply moved and sincerely grateful to receive an official Chicago Cubs 2016 World Series championship ring. I am fully aware of the historical significance and appreciate the symbolism the ring represents on multiple levels. My family and I will cherish it for generations. Most meaningful is the genuine outreach from the Ricketts family on behalf of the Cubs organization and fans, signifying to me that I am welcome back into the Cubs family and have their support going forward. I am relieved and hopeful that the saga of the 2003 foul ball incident surrounding my family and me is finally over. I humbly receive the ring not only as a symbol of one of the most historic achievements in sports, but as an important reminder for how we should treat each other in today's society. My hope is that we can learn from my experience to view sports as entertainment and prevent harsh scapegoating, and to challenge the media and opportunistic profiteers to conduct business ethically by respecting personal privacy rights and not exploit any individual to advance their own self-interest or economic gain. Moreover, I am hopeful this ring gesture will be the start of an important healing and reconciliation process for all involved. To that end, I request the media please respect my privacy and the privacy of my family. I will not participate in interviews or further public statements at this time. Words alone cannot express my heartfelt thanks to the Ricketts, Crane Kenny, Theo Epstein, the entire Cubs organization for this extraordinary gift and for providing the Chicago and Cubs fans everywhere an unforgettable world championship in 2016. I'm happy to be reunited with the Cubs family and positively moving forward. Steve Bartman. Boy, it sure does sound like he's been carrying around a lot there, doesn't it?
He took a three-sentence statement opportunity and added on to it.
Well, I don't blame the guy. He does get it. I mean, think about this. This is, in 14 years, the first thing Bartman has said, more or less, right? His brother-in-law made a statement shortly after the World Series. He's done nothing. Frank Murtha has only come forward, the sports marketing representative guy, to only say that he doesn't want to talk about it. Bartman has only wanted to be away from this story. And you can look at some of the words in here. I mean, the Cubs say public burden, all he has sacrificed. And he said, welcomed back into the family as though he really felt ostracized. He said, I am relieved and hopeful. He mentioned what his family has gone through. And then he said, remember, there's a way we should treat each other in today's society. And that we've kind of forgotten that this is entertainment and we should prevent harsh scapegoating. He talked about healing and reconciliation. I know people who have lost pets and loved ones who don't use this kind of freighted language. And I'm not saying Bartman doesn't deserve it. This guy had death threats. I request the media please respect my privacy. Oh, Steve, we don't want to do that. I think the score, the single interview to get in Chicago is and always and has been since then a Steve Bartman interview because he's the only one that said, I won't. I don't even know what you would ask him, but I have played it out in my head at times. I don't have any burning question, but I'd sure give him a chance to vent a little, to talk about what it was like, and to actually address some of the things that are clearly on his mind here. But how can you not respect a guy who in this day and age, an Academy Award-winning documentarian called him and said, we're making a movie, we want you to be in the film, and he said no. How can you not respect a guy who has decided to turn down marketing beer or automobiles or condominiums or the Cubs? Think of all of the money Bartman could have made. And he said no to everything. You almost think that's impossible. Sometimes people come out and they say, well, I had no choice. The media was hounding me, so I wrote a book. Or so I started blogging. It was the only way for me to deal with it. No, actually, you can just be quiet and go away now. And he has, but it's been bothering him all along. So I reached out, like I said, to a family member and a friend, and I said, what do you think? The Cubs gesture here. And right away they go, leave the poor guy alone. Leave the guy alone. Steve Bertrand, your thoughts. Go.
Yeah, leave him alone. I would have edited that statement, though, a lot. I would not have said as much or as long.
Why? I read the whole thing in 2 minutes. 14 years/2 minutes. You think that was piling on?
Piling on who? I didn't use the term piling on.
Were you throwing fruit at him at the game?
No. I just think that it, and I don't want to be critical of him, but in my perfect Steve Bartman
world,
because I think he's perfect.
I do too.
He would have said, you know, thank you very much. It's an honor. I appreciate the gesture from the Ricketts. And maybe not gone on about how we treat each other and challenging us. Because, I mean, we all understand that.
He is an unlikely leader for anything because he's been so, you know.
Perfectly entitled to everything he said. I don't mean any of that. But it's clear he's not working with a PR person.
I think he's. It's clear he is.
Oh, he is?
This doesn't ring of a PR person to you?
I think I would
have
said
it. People
don't
talk like this. People don't write this way. I mean, literally. This sentence, this is the way a PR guy writes, and a good PR guy, I might add. I am deeply moved and sincerely grateful to receive an official Chicago Cubs 2016 World Series championship ring. I am fully aware of the historical significance and appreciate the symbolism the ring represents on multiple levels. People don't talk this way.
No. I get that. But then there's a sentence about the Ricketts family coming up.
Yep, right.
And then I end it.
Most meaningful is the genuine outreach from the Ricketts family, each of whom are handsome and talented individuals.
Right.
On behalf of the Cubs organization and fans, signifying that I'm welcome. But see, here it goes. I'm welcome back. So you got to believe this is Bartman, too. I'm welcome back into the Cubs family. If you're welcome back in, that means you were not in. You were out. You were out.
You're going to make me say things that about him. I'm on his team. I like him.
But no, you're not. And here's another thing. He said, I think this...
It's been a sort of a self-imposed exile, though, too.
Okay. Right. In other words, they would have had him back if he disagreed to come along?
Yeah, I mean, for him to say, this finally shows you want me back. Well, I think... See, I don't want to say bad things.
Well, the Cubs are part and parcel of this. They're the ones... Here's a question we don't know the answer to. Frank Murtha, take our call. So, clearly the Cubs initiated this. I'm sure Bartman wasn't knocking on their door. This is the Cubs' idea. And it's a very oddly timed gesture. I mean, they didn't give it to him at the parade. They didn't give it to him in the World Series ring ceremonies. You know, all of the things that have come along with this. And now, you know, a couple weeks into the second half of a season where we're finally getting our legs under us, they bring up Bartman?
Yeah, well, they finally...
What's the timing of that about?
Well, they finally feel confident they're going to be back. So it wasn't looking good before the
break. Oh, my God. If we don't win the pennant this year...
If we give him the ring and then we
and
collapse...
And then we go into a tailspin. See, but that's the hell of this thing. That's the thing that just surprises me. None of it ever made sense. None of it was ever fair. So if you want to walk away from it, walk away from it. And I've never respected anybody more than Bartman for that. That the Cubs would, at any time, but particularly now because it's so obtuse, make a gesture to him is curious to me. And you're right, this does not sound like Bartman. But whoever wrote this, if this reflects Bartman's views, I think they are so valid. We treat each other like crap out there. We shame people. We chant, Bartman sucks. Ask Chris Christie if the crowd at a baseball game can be a little mean-spirited. And all Chris Christie did was walk down the steps with nachos and do other terrible things.
Don't you...
Okay. I'll just sit back while you talk.
No, because it's just...
No, don't... Why are you so afraid to say how you feel today?
Because I'm really happy for him, and I'm totally happy for him and everything, and I hadn't heard that whole statement. I just think he went on... You know, because it was in many ways a self-imposed exile after a period of years. And, I mean,
do you know the answer to this?
Back.
Yeah, I know. Frank, I need you to answer this question, too. Has Bartman been to a game since?
I don't know.
I don't either. I would imagine we would have heard. Somebody would have taken a pic. It would have been on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter.
If he does, he should sit next to Chris Christie so no one notices him because everyone's watching Christie now.
Okay, we're going to talk about that later. I know... Bill and Wendy did, and Cochran mentioned it today, too. In the scenario, Christie leans over with the nachos and gives grief to a Cubs fan who says, you suck. The bad guy in that scene is the Cubs fan that said, you suck.
Right, but you know what the point of the story is? You reap what you sow.
Oh, I guess.
Right?
Right, only because there's a layer of
Christie.
Idiot, mean people out there.
Right.
Knuckleheads at games.
No. I totally agree with that, but... Because I was thinking of this now. I don't want to move on to it if you don't.
We're going to talk about Bartman here, but make your point.
Well, that Chris Christie, in a way, invites that sort of behavior because he also exhibits it toward others. That's all. He was not in the wrong by any means.
But
you reap what you sow in a way.
I guess so. I know that. But I don't know how you take any pride in saying, you know, that guy that was terrible to people, I was terrible to him, too.
No.
Nobody
no,
asked
neither.
You to no. even the score, you dope. It's 122. Okay, so 312-981-7200. Before we go to calls and the text messages, what do you think of the gesture by the Cubs? And remember, no good deed goes unpunished. It's so complicated. I'm sure the people at the Cubs are going, wait a minute, we just got the guy a $12,000 ring. I'm sorry, what did we do wrong again here? But maybe they did. But before we do any of that, do we have the Game of Thrones theme ready to play, Elif? In 3, 2, 1, woof. Young man named David has been shadowing the show. He's a graduate. No, he's a student ready to graduate next year from Columbia, from University of Missouri at Columbia. And he's been shadowing the show. We sent him to the AT&T store on Michigan Avenue where the ridiculous throne is, the Iron Throne. The actual Iron Throne from Game of Thrones is there. We knew there would be a big crowd, so we sent him over early and asked him to file a report. David, are you there?
Yes, John.
So is there a really big crowd, long line?
Yeah, yeah, right, yes. Honestly, as soon as I took your call, one of the people just came in. So.
Okay, but earlier there wasn't. Like, there was a line, then there wasn't a line, now there's a little bit of a line?
Yeah, yeah, now people are coming in from, I'm not sure from the lunch break or what, but, you know, you'd think the Iron Throne would be bigger.
I thought this would be like a new iPhone. I thought it would be people camped out overnight to sit.
Are you kidding me? Do you know what bad things happen to people who sit on that throne?
Speaking of curses and jinxes, so how long is the wait now? Just as a sort of assist to people that are thinking about coming down, how long will I stand in line, David?
It takes about 5 minutes for you to get up and take your picture.
That's all, but I mean, really. So if I go to there right now, I'll wait 5 minutes and I get my picture taken.
Yep.
All right. Have you done that?
Yes, I did. I just did, actually. It's surprisingly comfortable, considering what it's made of.
Well, is it made of iron, or is it made of, you know, I don't know, reclaimed plywood or something?
Well, definitely a metal material of some sort.
A metal material.
I don't, but it's very, very cool. I felt a lot of power sitting on that throne.
All right. I'm going to call you in a little bit. Maybe you can get us some other Game of Throners there, too.
If you lick it, does it taste metally?
David, don't respond to that. I'm going to call you in a little bit and let us know how it's going, okay?
All right.
Thank you. Okay. Your Steve Bartman comments, please. 312-981-7200. Call me now. Good gesture, hollow gesture, good timing, bad timing. Your thoughts about this next on WGN. Okay, 128, this is WGN. John Williams here. Let's take some phone calls. We'll start with Frank. You're on WGN. How are you, Frank?
Hey, good afternoon, King John. John, I just wanted to say and stress and perhaps underline the fact that we're supposed to be a society that treats each other with respect and dignity. The man went to the ball game by himself, and he was in a group of people who were all trying to go for the ball at the same time.
Yep, could have been anybody.
Gentlemen, it could have been anybody. And the fact that we had to subject him to death threats is just uncalled for. And, you know, let's say if this thing went the worst way possible and Bartman would have committed suicide, How would that have made Chicago look?
Yeah, I think, terrible. You know, it's awful in every way. You know, I'm glad that nobody got a punch in during the game, although he did endure a lot of verbal abuse. I don't know if anybody actually physically touched him, but, you know, Cubs and Sox fans, Cubs and Cardinal fans, Dodgers and Giants fans and A's fans, they get into fights at games just for wearing each other's jerseys. You can imagine that amped up crowd, eighth inning, they've had a lot of beer. That happens. It's good that worse did not happen at that game that day. The question is, do you give him the ring or not? Thanks for the call, Frank. I'm going to Jim. You're on WGN. Jim, what did you want to say?
Well, hey there. All I can say is about time. For all these years, I have been so – my voice might even quiver now. I'm not kidding. I've been so upset because it was never even reported right. Just like Frank just said, there were six people there reaching for the ball. Why didn't they see the guy coming to catch it? Because they're up above him. They're so darn high, that wall's so high, and they're looking up at the ball. You're going to get hit by a ball. You got to look up. They didn't even know he's coming for the ball. That's number one. Number two, it never was reported. All the announcers should have said exactly that. It wasn't his fault. The Cub organization, the next day, should have apologized to him and stated that exact – even now they're making mistakes. You accidentally made a mistake. You said he caught the ball. He never caught the ball. He was one of the six people.
That's right. He didn't get the ball.
He didn't even
get the ball.
I've got to say, we're listening to the play-by-play up here right now.
I'm about to play it, yeah.
And Steve Stone instantly said on our radio – Moises Alou is angry with the fan, but he shouldn't be. He should have caught the ball or something to that
Now, that
effect.
Was the radio broadcast here on WGN. This is the TV broadcast.
Again in the air, down a left field line. Alou reaching into the stands and couldn't get it. He's littered with a fan.
Now,
That's awfully close to fan interference right there. The umpire's all over it. The umpire right down there, Mike Everett's on the play. If Alou has to reach into the stands, it's fair game for the fans to catch the ball. If the fan reaches out over the field, then it can be ruled fan interference. That is very, very close.
Man.
All right, here's Pat Hughes and Steve Stone. You ready?
Yeah.
And leaping up, Alou cannot make the play.
And Moises is unhappy with the fans, but Moises went into the seats. He could have had that ball. A fan interfered with him.
What was Steve Stone doing with Pat Hughes? Was he?
I think Ron was ill, wasn't he?
I don't remember that Ron was not in the booth. Although I don't remember Ron losing his mind, and he would have.
Right.
So
and there would have been on TV on Fox, so they would have the TV guys were available.
Well, that's nice that he said that. Boy, what's the matter with us, Chicago? We are playing back the foul ball play from 03. Like it's a fresh wound. And we won the World Series last year. It's 1:30.
Yeah, but still.
What's the matter now,
I'm just
Steve?
Kidding you.
Yeah, please, don't. Is it that hard to find somebody that will stick around or that you believe should stick around? This is a presidency 6 months old. And I know sometimes people leave for other things and sometimes there's conflicts of interest. But if you want somebody to decide whether or not we should go to war with North Korea, at least figuring out who your players are on the communications team should not be that flipping complicated.
So Priebus is saying, wait, I lost my job.
Oh, that's right. So I didn't even mention poor Reince.
Right. He lost his job because Scaramucci came in, and now Scaramucci's out.
I never thought that Priebus was part of that team anyway. If you looked at the body language, whenever Priebus was in a photograph of the president, he was always back and to the side. And maybe that's where the chief of staff is, always in the room, but never the spotlight. But it never looked to me like Priebus was Trump's choice. In fact, I think we all thought that Priebus was the adult in the room and that he was the one that was going to try and connect, maybe like the vice president, the president to the Congress or to reality. And you never had the feeling that he was pulling that off. Did you ever see Reince Priebus smile? Even Sean Hannity would laugh sometimes through his flop sweat. But at least Hannity would sometimes chuckle or smile. Priebus always looked like he recently had a bad egg. I mean, literally ate a bad egg. So I think about Priebus the way I do, say, Spicer. I don't know the Scaramucci guy, but you've got to believe that at some point, Scaramucci must be like just stepped out of the way of a train. Like he was standing in front of the train going, hey, this is fun. I'm in front of a train. And everybody's looking at him. He goes, look, everybody, I'm in front of a train. And then he jumped out of the way and vroom, train goes by. And he goes, actually, I'm probably better out of the way of the train.
I think he's probably still yelling, but he's under the train.
There's nothing funny about that.
Well, I don't mean if it literally, but I mean, I think he was got on the track, started yelling and screaming and doing things the way he thought he could do.
The president did not attack him. The only person that matters is the president. And I'll check my Twitter. I do about every 30 seconds. I do not believe the president tweeted a single thing about Scaramucci since the New Yorker interview.
True.
So maybe even Donald Trump knows that that was an unimpeachable sin and he had to go. But or an impeachable sin. He had to go. But he sure was curiously quiet about it. You know, he's not happy with Jeff Sessions, you know, because he's been saying so. Scaramucci is out. And pardon me, Steve, he resigned, right? Scaramucci resigned.
David didn't see him down on the Iron Throne, did he?
The Iron Throne comes. It's a very weird day. The Iron Throne from Game of Thrones is in Chicago on Michigan Avenue, and people are delicately sitting in it. While the Cubs give a World Series ring to Steve Bartman, and then just to prove to you that the sun is tomorrow going to rise in the West, Scaramucci goes, never mind.
You know, what's funny is after all the political shows on Sunday and this morning, they're saying, what could this week possibly happen after last week? And here we are, Monday, 2 o'clock.
By the way, if nobody gets to say that anymore. Nobody gets to say, I'm surprised. Nobody gets to say, well, I've seen crazy things, but I never thought this. You have to think tomorrow's going to be crazier. In fact, we do these ridiculous brackets, right? Listen, I am not piling on the president. When we make brackets, as we have on Facebook, about 20,000 of you looked at them over the weekend, and we just updated them after the first two games were voted on. That's not me piling on. These are things the president has said, done, or tweeted. We've made brackets in each game. You say which was nuttier, which was crazier. And almost to the person, you all are playing along without any commentary. Thank you. That's what we'd hoped. As I've said in the video that goes with it, what's been happening since the president got elected is not normal. And if we don't acknowledge that, then it will be the normal. And we can't have that. Let's just say, here's what's been going on and remind ourselves of the world we're living in. You don't have to play if you don't want to. So we did brackets. It's four 4-team regionals, that's 16, plus four additional teams that were the play-in games. So you've got 20 teams up there. And when we made the brackets, we said, let's do 19 teams and then leave one of them with sort of the wild card, crazy, zany thing. Just before the show, we shot today's Facebook post. It's there. Like me on Facebook. I'm King John. And you can vote on today's games. What was nuttier, when he mocked the New York Times reporter or when he said that his hands were the size of his you-know-what and bragged about that at the debate? Those sorts of things, right? So we had one. The 20th team in the tournament was a question mark. And we shot the video and we're set to post it. And the point of the question mark was, in the brackets, something's going to happen that will be crazier than these other 19. And when that happens, we'll fill it in.
You're going to need more question marks.
That's the thing. And so we got done shooting the video where I explained it. I said, okay, what was nuttier? The bill of health letter from his doctor. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That crazy thing? Versus question mark, meaning as crazy as that was, are you going to gamble that something else even crazier will happen? And then I thought, I'm making this too complicated. Skip it. We just threw in instead of that. What was crazier, the bill of health letter from his doctor or the president saying that he didn't like John McCain because he got captured? He's not a hero because he likes his heroes that don't get caught. So which of those made you slap your forehead more? But now I'm thinking, doggone it. I could have gone with the question mark and just do Scaramucci. Scaramucci.
A little more reporting from the New York Times. They're citing, and this goes to the, you had a caller last week who didn't like anonymous sources, or I shouldn't say anonymous, really. They're unnamed in the reporting. The reporters know who they are, but they talked to three different people in the Trump White House saying the decision to remove Scaramucci because he had boasted about reporting directly to the president and not the chief of staff came from Mr. Kelly, that John Kelly's request. He requested that Scaramucci be out. These three people said Kelly made it clear to members of the White House staff at a meeting this morning that he is the one who's in charge.
Well, that was your guess, and it looks like you guessed right. And that does make sense, doesn't it? Because as much as the president loves the generals, it looks like maybe he's got a general in the right spot. Somebody who won't tolerate this monkey business.
Hope so, because things need to be put a little bit more in order.
And that's...
And when even though it won't be as much fun to read.
Okay, but you had Priebus, who was ineffectual and really never given, I'm going to guess, the sort of authority that he needed or was never able to exercise it. So then you put in Scaramucci, who's just like fiercely loyal, completely unqualified, and maybe on drugs sometimes. And then about a day later, you throw him out and put in a sober, staid, I'll brook no nonsense from you people, retired general. Okay, that's another way to do it. But you got the congressional link, the Republican Party guy. Then you've got the Wall Street financier, the banker, not a banker guy, but an investment guy. And now you've got a general guy. Who's it going to be next week? Why can't Jared just do this too?
Well, you know, kidding aside, watch the 5:15 a.m. tweets. And if there aren't any, then we'll see that he does put great respect to the term and title general and is following the general's advice. If they continue, then there may well be someone again in 6 months.
Cochran was asking a guest today, why does the general take the job? I think that's always a good question now, because A, you might get fired, B, you might quit, C, you might be humiliated and embarrassed. Ask Rick Perry how much fun it was to be on the stage smiling when the president gave the Boy Scout speech. It just might ultimately be the worst line in your obituary. So why take the job? Why take the job? And the answer has to be because it's important.
Duty.
Because America needs it. Absolutely, Steve. It's a duty. And it's not a pledge of allegiance to the president. I've been making this point all along, and you guys mock me. But I think the Sean Spicers of the world, through the General Kellys of the world, hopefully in their heart, know that this is a ridiculous assignment, but somebody has to do it because he is the president. So that's why a General Kelly does it. Not because you love Donald Trump or even duty to Trump. That was Scaramucci. Scaramucci was service to the man, not the country. At least it looked like in the 48 hours that he didn't even have the job. But maybe this guy has a different calling, which is then weird then, because don't you think this is going to happen? Oh, I don't know, maybe Wednesday. The president's going to want to declare war on Japan, and he's going to go, Mr. President, I don't think we can do that, blah, 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 blah. And they're going to get into a disagreement about strategy or tactics. You know, not on defense, but even communication. It's 1:49. Okay, we'll pause here. Some of you are still calling about the Steve Bartman. We were about ready to go back to some Bartman calls. And
should we give Scaramucci a ring?
Ask him what he thinks. So here's a guy who was on top of the world, but really anonymous to you and me. I'm also always intrigued by the sort of self-immolation that people are willing to volunteer for, right? You did not know who he was. You could say the same about a Kellyanne Conway or a Sean Spicer, people who were happily anonymous to most of us and wildly successful and popular in their circles. And then they volunteer for an impossible job. Then they do it badly. And then they live thereafter with the scorn that they didn't need to get, but they volunteered for. You didn't know who this Scaramucci guy was. Now you know that he's some sort of clown who was out way over on his skis. Did he have the job or not for about 48 hours? And now he's gone. How embarrassing.
I'm waiting.
For
someone always calls there because people are so fixated. They're going to want to know if he gets his pension.
All I know is somehow this is Hillary's fault. I'm looking at the president's Twitter account. Well, that's interesting. Gosh, I'm shocked. Wait, we don't get to say that anymore. Before we go to that, in some of your calls, 312-981-7200, Scaramucci is out. He quit, or if he ever had the job, he quit. If he didn't have the job, he's not going to take it as the White House communications director. Mooch, we hardly knew ye. The Iron Throne is on Michigan Avenue from Game of Thrones, the actual one they used in the TV show. Did you watch last night's episode? Pretty good. Is at the AT&T store just up the street. We sent David, who's been shadowing our show for the last couple weeks, to head on up there with his phone. Hi, David. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Sean.
So what's going on? What's the latest?
Well, right now I'm standing next to a giant Tyrion bobblehead, and the line is about, there's probably about 40, 45 people here. Just in line for this.
A giant Tyrion bobblehead?
Yes.
That wasn't there earlier. That wasn't in part of your previous report. What happened?
No. What happened? It was in the back, and they didn't put it out in between calls.
A giant Tyrion bobblehead. And then people get to step up, sit in the throne, get their picture taken, then the next person, and you just go through. It's free, right?
Yes.
How long are they there? Free. How long are they there with the Iron Throne?
They're there till 6.
Okay. All right, David, we're following the Scaramucci story, so I'll let you go. Although, if a slick financier from New York shows up and sits in the throne, let us know, okay?
I will. Thanks, Sean.
It's 1:56 on WGN. Thank you, David. Man, I thought we'd be spending more time with that today. Actually, that was about the right amount of time. So I'm looking at the Trump Twitter account, as I often do. 7 hours ago, if Obamacare is hurting people, and it is, why shouldn't it hurt the insurance companies, and why should Congress not be paying what the public pays? Not sure what the purpose of that tweet is, but there it is. Then 6 hours ago, he tweeted, highest stock market ever, best economic numbers in years. Let's see, this was 6 hours ago. Okay, here's what he tweeted. Highest stock market ever, best economic numbers in years, unemployment lowest in 17 years, wages rising, border secure, Supreme Court, no White House chaos. And then moments later, chaos ensued when Scaramucci announces that he's no longer going to be the communications director. So he has now retweeted, and it looks like it's at the top of his Twitter queue, a segment from Fox and Friends about the sheriff who is making gang arrests. Hey, everybody, look over there. A sheriff is arresting gangsters. We're tough on crime. Don't you think if you're the kind of president that tweets stream of conscious, that this would be something that would warrant a little consideration? I mean, if you're going to do it, we'd sure like to see what you think about that, Mr. President. Instead, he has said, Suffolk County Sheriff praises President Trump for making gang eradication a priority. He's retweeted the Suffolk County Sheriff, who said good things about him, and he has posted that. Even though that happened July 28th, today's the 31st, that is now in the top of the president's Twitter queue. Let's go to Joe. Joe, thanks for holding. You're on WGN. You wanted to say what? You're on the air.
Hi, John. Well, I was calling to tell you I didn't agree with Steve Barton in getting a ring, but then it jumped to Scaramucci.
There we are.
But honestly, I think Scaramucci was brought in by Trump to get rid of Priebus, so he didn't have to do it.
Oh, that happens sometimes. You hire a guy to fire some people, and then you get rid of the guy that did that.
Sure, and it sounds just like that. I mean, he looks like a thug anyway.
Yeah, right. You never imagined he'd have that job, but he can come in, be the axe man, and then he'll step out and we'll get somebody else in.
Right, and it seems to be what's happened. So
because you know what that does then? It makes it easy for his replacement or Kelly. It makes it easy for them to say, I didn't do it. Scaramucci
right.
did.
And Trump's a coward. He won't do it himself.
Thanks for the phone call, Joe.
Okay, thank you.
No, I get it. I appreciate your logic on that. Maybe you're onto something. Hey, Tom, what did you want to say? You're on WGN.
Well, I think you mentioned it very, very briefly last week. I think we talked about the fact that he never was officially on the payroll. So, you know, don't let the door hit you on your way out, even though you never had the job to begin with.
Yeah. He's the only person to quit a job he didn't have.
By the way, General Kelly was the Marine liaison to Congress earlier in his career. So this whole thing that he doesn't have any experience on the Hill is ill-advised, I would suggest. And lastly, I don't think it was him. I think it was the Department of Defense. But one of Trump's generals was asked, "What causes you to lose sleep at night?" To which he responded immediately, "Nothing. I cause others to lose sleep at night."
Interesting point. I appreciate the call, Tom. One more time before we go to news. That's on line four. Tom, I got about 20 seconds. What did you want to say?
Oh, hi, John. Briefly, I keep wondering what it's going to take to crack this 38% support level in spite of all the chaos that is going on. And there, as you guys know or might know, there is a shoe that's going to drop. It's got to do with the Attorney General in at least 2 to 3 states about something more scurrilous and scandalous. You know, at this point, it's still a rumor. But when this shoe drops in the next week or 10 days, I can't help but wonder what sort of decent, moral American will continue to support this president.
Hold on a second. I appreciate the call, Tom. I'm not sure what the shoe is that you're talking about. If he fires Sessions, then they will impeach him. This is Chicago's
what
very
if they
own.
Move him? That's what's going to happen.
They're going to move Sessions out of that position?
To Homeland Security, which is now open. A lot of it's about immigration, and Sessions has been working on immigration.
I think I'll stand by the point I just made. If they kick Sessions out of that office, then I think I don't know what's going to happen. Who are we kidding here?
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Here we go.
Here's John Williams.
Gotta run. It's 207. This is John. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. I was going to do a different show than this one today, but here it is. When you do news and talk, sometimes you talk about the news, and the news is Anthony Scaramucci is out as the communications director at the White House.
We just got a statement from the White House. This is a statement from the press secretary, which would be Sarah Sanders. Anthony Scaramucci will be leaving his role as White House communications director. Mr. Scaramucci felt it was best to give Chief of Staff John Kelly a clean slate and the ability to build his own team. We wish him all the best. Which is fascinating. I mean, those were Reince Priebus' words last Friday. No, they were.
They absolutely were. I'll step aside because this guy needs a clean slate. So here's Serena Marshall, ABC Capitol Hill correspondent. Serena, did you see this coming? And thank you for joining us on WGN.
I'm not sure, John, if anybody saw this coming. He's been on the job less than a week, or just over a week, I should say, and he hasn't actually officially started. He was in a transition period, and he was supposed to officially take on the full-time role later this month. And then this morning, John Kelly sworn in as the new chief of staff, military man, a disciplined man, and now we have Anthony Scaramucci's resignation.
Was this Kelly's idea?
Well, that is what, in the statement he says it's best to give Chief of Staff John Kelly a clean slate. We know Kelly wants to come in. He wants to see more discipline in the White House. And so, you know, if he's able to do that or not. But you have Scaramucci, who had that tirade with a reporter where he was slamming Reince Priebus and using expletives. And when you have the background of a military man like John Kelly, that's not something that'll really hold up in a White House he's trying to gain control over.
Yeah, right. So Scaramucci is out. Was it the president's idea that Scaramucci would just come in and be a bit of an axe man and that this was really a very temporary post? Or do you think the president was shocked like the rest of us at that New Yorker interview?
Well, the president liked Scaramucci. He was a family friend. They went back. He thought he was going to join the administration earlier. Remember, there was complaints within the White House when he was being hired of people that he said were trying to keep him out and block him from being part of the administration. And so we know that's why he was brought in. They liked the way he communicated. His press briefing that he gave, the what seemed to be one of the most coherent ones we've heard from the White House in a long time. But then when you have those brash comments, somebody who came in and didn't just make those comments, but then took a lot of the media oxygen up with that response, with his tweets. He never apologized. He stood his ground. People were calling him the Trump mini-me inside the White House. And so then you have John Kelly come in, a disciplined military man who is being brought in from DHS, and it basically looks like he's not going to have it. He wants a clean slate to start over. Who's going to take that job down, though, now is a big question. You still have Sean Spicer at the White House. His role doesn't officially end for another couple weeks either. And so how they'll fill that role, how John Kelly will continue to kind of rein in the leaks and assert order is kind of the big question.
Serena Marshall, ABC Capitol Hill correspondent, has a hard out, as we say, at 10 after. It's 10 after. I'm going to call you again another day, Serena. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, John.
Appreciate you joining us. Still just, I don't know why the president has retweeted. So at the top of his Twitter queue, Steve.
That doesn't make sense to me. That says it was 2 days ago. So I don't know if there's something.
Oh, I don't think there's anything wrong about this because it's a retweet. But why a July 28th tweet is on the top of his page. And then below that is him saying that there's no chaos in the White House. He tweeted that this morning. Whew. And then beneath that is, you know, and that the markets are good. And then beneath that is his ongoing rant about Obamacare. So those were three of his tweets today. Those were his three tweets today.
Markets are good. And he said
markets are good.
He said that during an availability, and he said confidence is up. Consumer confidence is up.
Unemployment lowest in 17 years. Wages rising. Border secure. Supreme Court. So this is him just, boy, that's almost, God, where else?
Well, no, you were reading his tweets. I was saying, though, no, I'm serious that the stock market is up and consumer confidence is high.
I agree.
He's correct about those
so
things.
So too does the president. I mean, you guys are on the same page. The president this morning, all right, but here's the point. He tweets this, highest stock, it's like hieroglyphics. It's like, it's a cross between hieroglyphics where you're trying to interpret an ancient language. What does it mean? What is the symbolism? And psychology. What if a psychiatrist were reading ancient hieroglyphics? So you wouldn't be just asking them, you know, what is the literal interpretation, but really, how did the patient feel and what were they actually expressing here? That's what you've got. So anyway, back to the tweet. Highest stock market ever, best economic numbers in years, unemployment lowest in 17 years, wages rising, border secure, SC, meaning Supreme Court. Now, why would he just... This morning, 7 hours ago, 7 hours ago, it's 2:12, so that would be about 7 a.m. Why would he this morning remind everybody that he did a great job appointing a guy to the Supreme Court, that was a good pick? Why would he be bragging about that this morning? Why would he be putting out there in front of this highest stock market ever, best economic numbers, wages are up, the border's secure? Oh, and by the way, I appointed that guy in the Supreme Court. Boy, that's pretty awesome. I already be doing that. And then the next, and so then Scaramucci hits the fan. And then the next tweet is a retweet from 3 days ago, which he does so seldom. And it's of the Suffolk County Sheriff praising the president for coming down hard on gangs. Because that's not very random. This guy will decide if we go to war with North Korea. This guy will decide how we do trade with China. I know you know that. Okay, so that's where that story is. Thanks again to ABC for joining us here on WGN. So maybe I just segue out of this. The last thing I'll say about any of that right now is that if you like me on Facebook, and a lot of I saw that a few thousand of you are right back on the page today, because we've got the Trump cuckoo brackets, moments to make you slap your head and say, I can't believe that just happened. We picked 20 teams to start the tournament. Obviously, Scaramucci did not get into the tournament because he happened after we put the brackets up. So he'll be in the second tournament that will happen in January, maybe. But for now, there are 20 moments, each a team competing for cuckooist moment in the Trump administration or even in the campaign. We started with the escalator ride down, and you get to vote. Couple of games each day. So there's two more up for you to vote on. It's all explained nicely on my Facebook page. And again, we're not offering any editorial comment about it. We're just simply saying these things actually happened in the last 180 days. Which of them is giving you the most pause? I'm King John on Facebook. It's 2:14 on WGN. We started the show and I thought we'd be talking more about the Steve Bartman story because the Cubs, speaking of out of the blue, said, hey, let's give him a championship World Series ring. And they did. And he said, thank you very much, but we've got to be nicer to each other, which I think was really true. And I thought that the statement that Bartman and somebody else crafted was lovely. Bertrand didn't feel that way. He was critical of Steve Bartman.
Don't do that to me.
Of all of the angles to take on that, I was surprised that you had that to say about Steve Bartman.
I just wouldn't have used the same language, but I'm happy for him.
Yeah, I think that's fair, Steven. I think that's true. What's that, Elif? Here's just a couple of last texts. Great for Steve Bartman and the Cubs. I love it. Bad move for the Cubs. I wish they would just forget the whole thing, and I'm sure Bartman does too. Many other fans deserve that ring much more. Steve Bartman should be given a season pass forever, and that's it. Well, I don't know. What would you take, a World Series championship ring or a season pass forever? If it was two seats, I think I'd take the two tickets forever. Who would you take, Steve? Two season passes, lifetime, or World Series ring?
World Series ring.
Seriously?
You could always buy tickets. You can never buy a ring until some of the players, you know, go bankrupt in their later years.
I've been channeling my inner millennial lately. They're not interested in things. They're interested in experiences. So now I just want to do stuff rather than acquire goods.
Here's an experience. Look at my ring.
John, I think that Bartman's statement speaks better than our president does. Well, maybe the president's going to speak better now. It's 2:16 on WGN. Do you have time, Steve? I know you're busy in there, but with you being a newsman and all, it being a big news day, do you have time to play handyman poker? Or do you want to do that a little later on? We'll do it a little later on.
I have to think.
I assembled I'm not even going to say. We'll just say that a very exciting edition of Handyman Poker is coming your way. That's where you sit around with your friends on Monday and you say, well, this is what I did over the weekend, and you brag about how handy you are. It's called Handyman Poker.
Maybe I'll lay down and let you have one here. I've got a couple ideas.
I want you to play. I want you to play. Just... You're sitting at the table. Also, Elif tells me that Rick Pearson's going to join us, the political analyst for the Chicago Tribune. He's got a thing or two to say about today's news. That's coming up. Remember, if you want to sound off on all of this, like me on Facebook. The brackets are there, and you can vote on what the craziest moment was that you've seen lately. You can play ball and celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com today. And speaking of the Chicago Tribune, Rick Pearson just came into our studio, the political reporter for the Tribune. The front page of your paper today.
Yes.
That's me on the right, you know.
Of course, yes. That's me under the water.
Holy cow. Have you all been talking about this today?
Actually, there's been a lot of things going on today.
So you really didn't get around to this around the coffee pot
no,
this morning?
No. Mondays are bad for getting to the coffee pot.
Yesterday was 82 degrees, sunny, and I've never... seen the Chicago beaches so crowded as they were yesterday.
Well, because partly they had been closed because
you couldn't
go Friday. You couldn't go in the water.
It was too wavy. So now there was a little chop. The weather was perfect. The clouds. Everybody was itching to go to the beach. And the beaches were packed. We drove down there from Montrose or from Irving Park all the way to the to 55. Mm-hmm. I mean, past the campus and everything south. And I was like, holy cow, it looked like a lot of fun, but there was no room at the beach.
Well, but look at the stretch of weather that we've had. And that's the only thing that was missing was you couldn't go into the water till yesterday.
So the Tribune then, this is not why I called you here, has a day beside the lake. And I thought, well, that's an apt story. So many people were there yesterday.
I would have said a day at the beach, though. That's what everybody knows. That
that's
term.
What you call that.
Yes.
Sunrise to sunset, athletes, seekers, lovers visit North Avenue Beach. Is North Avenue Beach a gay beach, or is it just two guys? Yeah,
no.
I didn't think so. And I don't know that these guys are gay.
Right.
But there's two really handsome, really ripped men touching each other on the front page of the Tribune today.
Touching each other in an okay way.
In an okay, not, like yeah. If you were at the beach, you could do this. This would be fine.
That's right.
The lifeguard would not blow her whistle yet. But I'm like,
despite
wow.
the lack of clothes.
Wow. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Good-looking guys. What happened at the White House today?
We're seeing the first signs of John Kelly, and frankly, perhaps as much as Trump said in a tweet this morning, there's no chaos at the White House. When you get rid of Anthony Scaramucci, this might be a sign that the chaos might be ending for a little
bit. Oh, that's
bit.
Interesting, because I thought that's ironic. That I just read before you came in the president's last three tweets, one of which was a retweet about something not at all this, like he was dodging the topic. And ironically, his second to last tweet was no chaos at the White House. And I thought, this is absolutely chaos, but maybe this is the end of chaos.
Well, and that's what some people are starting to see here is that, you know, for a long time, critics of the president have said, you know, who's going to be the adult in the room? Who is going to be somebody they actually listens to? Given his histrionics and that, this could be a sign of that. Remember that, you know, with that battle of between Scaramucci and Reince Priebus, the former chief of staff, that erupted into that vulgar tirade that was in the New Yorker. But you had Priebus never had kind of was never empowered by the president to do anything. He likes General Kelly. Kelly, with a 4-star retired Marine general. Priebus was also being circumvented by Scaramucci. Scaramucci had a direct pipeline to the president. If you're chief of staff, you have to establish some ground rules on who gets to see the president.
Well, Priebus may have been leaking, and I'm not exactly sure what leaking means, because for good or ill intent, members of the White House staff will tell people in the press things off the record or for background. That's Bertrand's been on this because...
Rick, you followed this. Is there one leaker there?
At the White House.
No, there's all kinds of leakers there.
What's your point, Steve?
Well, that if Priebus what might have been one of them, that he wasn't all of them. And the idea that all of these, you know, and this goes back to some callers from last week, that these stories, if there's one unnamed source, they're corroborated with other unnamed sources.
Okay, so is Kelly going to be able to stem the flow of information coming out of the White House that the president doesn't approve of?
I think he could. I mean, Scaramucci, when he came in, said one of his first roles was to get the leakers, even though the leakers don't necessarily come out of the communications office.
Yeah, but is
they're
that
all over
and
the
was
place.
That, and that was Priebus' undoing, right?
Well, that was part of Priebus'
okay, but like
undoing.
Bertrand says, but it's not just Priebus. I mean,
correct.
If you...
That's not how Washington works. That's not how the White House
okay,
works.
Okay, so then is Kelly stepping into the same... It's like when countries go into Afghanistan and go, well, I'll teach them. Russia couldn't do it. The United States couldn't do it. I wonder if this is just another impossible task.
Well, you're not going to stop leaking. You're never going to stop the leakers. That's not, I mean, already we have leaks about General Kelly actually apparently didn't like the way that Jim Comey was fired as FBI director and called Comey after he got the, after he was named the new chief of staff.
Okay, well, Bertrand said last week, Steve, I don't know if you're able to participate in all of these conversations, but there was a flowchart, evidently, that Scaramucci and or the president built to sort of say, well, this was announced then by that person and this was announced then. And they were trying to figure out who the leaker was.
Sure.
Schematically.
Well, Scaramucci and someone else were putting together this flowchart that they were going to present to the president on Friday. So this was Thursday. But that doesn't make sense because Priebus resigned on Thursday. But anyway, they had this plan, this flowchart, and it was leaked to the Washington Post.
The flowchart to out the leaker was leaked.
And that's what I mean. It always happens. I remember there was a document when there was a new Illinois governor, and there was a document from his new press secretary to all of his press aides at all the agencies. If you're going to talk to the media, you have to go through me first. And, of course, that was promptly leaked and was out there. It's the nature of the business. The only way you can really control things, and here's where Kelly may play a major role, you control things by who has access to these meetings, who was in these meetings, and the president has enjoyed this kind of free flow of anybody can walk in there, whatever. If you control who's in these meetings and the access to the meetings, and you look at the information that comes out, you know, when you're talking about five people in a room, you can pretty much figure it out.
Maybe we should stop assuming, too, that leaking of information is a good thing, because everybody's ravenous for information, and too many of us are too critical of the president too often. So anything that looks bad for the administration, we embrace. Maybe we should pause, though, and think, wait a minute, maybe that's not in all of our best interest.
Well, it's...
you think about that. That's information that the administration, trying to do our work, is guarding. But because people don't like the boss, they're slipping it to you at the Chicago Tribune. Now, you're going to scarf that up. But maybe that whole process is really not in our best interest.
Well, one is, it's not just one source, again, for much of this information.
I don't know that that changes my point, but keep going.
Well, no, but I'm saying, so one, it's confirmed, which is a fact-finding
point. So it's true.
Yes.
Say, all right.
It is fact.
Not always, but I mean, famously, there have been some things leaked that were not true.
Correct.
Or reported that were not true, but then those people were fired or
right.
Or we discovered that fact. Okay, keep going.
So you have that point. Two, I mean, part of the job of the media is to be a watchdog on public officials. And yeah, naturally, the nature of the beast is you're going to be leaked stuff that's not necessarily going to be flattering about an office holder of that nature. That's where there comes normally a sense of balance into what, you know, what does this mean? Look at how Reince Priebus, he was gone 3 months ago, if you remember all of the leaks that were coming out then.
Oh, you mean, yeah, that his
job
was gone.
They were
talking about that a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, you know, things ebb and flow. And, of course, that's one of the problems, too, in this information media age, is that things just keep churning. And so part of it is to look, what I think a lot of journalists do, and I know a lot of them out in D.C., is to look what relevance it has, not just that it's the latest thing on Twitter.
So when Scaramucci took the job, he did that press conference with Sarah Sanders.
Right.
Which a lot of people praised shortly thereafter.
Well, there was a certain bit of candor and refreshing, and it wasn't kind of just trying to spin things that are untruths as truthful.
General Kelly has not done a similar press conference yet.
And doesn't really, I wouldn't say he's necessarily press friendly.
Different job too, John.
Chief of staff.
Scaramucci was going to be the
communications director.
Right. Kelly's the chief of staff. So.
Yeah, right.
So you're not really a media face for the administration.
Help me keep score here then. What jobs are open?
Well, there's all kinds of
jobs.
Just
help me with the big ones, the ones we're talking about here. Chief of staff
is filled. That's General Kelly. So okay. You've got the
Attorney General.
You're so funny!
That's a question mark.
Okay, what about communications director?
That's open.
Com director, because
and that would I think the next person named to that job, if anybody takes it, will be the sixth person in 6 months.
Homeland Security chief is open.
I was just going to say that's open now because that's where General Kelly came from.
What if they move Sessions into one of those roles?
Well, he certainly wouldn't be communications director.
Okay, what about Homeland Security? You see what I'm thinking? That, and this Bertram put this bug in my ear. That way you've got enough positions open now, you can get that nettlesome attorney general out of the way by giving him a lateral move.
Except I think it's pretty clear, even if he were to be moved to a different cabinet position, that wouldn't satisfy the protectors that he has among the Republicans in the Senate, who have already said, we're not going to confirm somebody to replace him because we know what the likely ulterior motive is here, and that's to get Bob Mueller.
As predicted by my friend Steve Bertrand, we now have the following text to 312-981-7200. Does Scaramucci now get a pension and
no.
health care for life? I'm not making that up.
Okay, so number one, his actual start date is August 15th. So he's actually served negative days. Okay.
He owes us.
That's correct.
Well, but I mean, his start date is one thing, but when is he on the payroll? If he's on the payroll, then does he get health care and pension for life?
No, there is no pension there. And if he got paid, I'd be frankly very surprised. He actually may owe for a trip on Air Force One now.
I got to go, but is there a historic footnote that is like Scaramucci? Do we have somebody else who came and went and was just sort of this flash in the pan that everybody goes, oh, yeah, I remember that?
In 10 days, I can't think of anything that a 10-day, I mean.
That's what it was, 10 days?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, it seemed longer than that. Or it seemed like 10 minutes ago. I don't know what it seemed like.
Now we'll never find out if he can do the Fandango.
I know. Hold on. I don't have it ready. I do have that. I do have Scaramucci.
Unless
Scaramucci.
Now, it could be him and Spicer on Dancing with the Stars.
Can you
think
do the
this.
Fandango, Thunderbolts and Lightning? Stand by.
Kaboosh, will you do the Fandango?
There it is.
Yeah, and there it goes. And there he goes.
Rick Pearson, we'll listen for you again on Sunday, right?
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming in, and we'll read you in the Chicago Tribune. You're still right up there,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Rick Pearson. Spanky Steve, lots of texts pouring in. John, the last gallon of milk I bought lasted longer than Scaramucci. So Scaramucci sold his company in anticipation. His wife left him because of his obsessive ambition. And now he lost his job. Guess he can sit alone and count his money, says 815. So Scaramucci is out, and we'll continue to follow that story. I don't know a lot more than that, and maybe you don't either, but that's where that is. Now, you don't need to know that much more about it, because General Kelly, if I was General Kelly, I would show up to office with my military uniform. You know, the four stars, are the insignia, whatever awards, medals, and medallions he has, I would show up with, like, my military brass uniform so that people would sort of get the message. You know, they show up in suits and ties, I know, but you almost, I mean, like, what's really impressive about this guy? Well, first of all, he was a four-star Marine general. Hokey smoke. That's the toughest as nails. That's the, I'm not putting up with this. You kids, I'll kill you. That's what he hired. And nothing conveys that more than that uniform, boy. In fact, I think what he should make in a cameo at the White House press briefing and just say, drop and give me 50. Then there's Major Garrick. One, two, three. You people are weak. We'll continue to follow that. The other couple of stories that I wanted to talk about today, one was the continuing reporting of the CTE epidemic in football. And then that was usurped by the Steve Bartman story. We asked Sam Panionovich from our sports department to come in and chat these up with us a little bit. How are you, Sam?
Very well, very well.
Let's start with the Bartman story. You accidentally...
I replied all to our entire staff.
Texted to the entire staff today.
I meant to just respond to the newsman.
Because Ryan Burrow sent out a note going, hey, everybody, just so you're on the up on this, Bartman's getting a World Series ring. And then you hit reply all. And what did you say?
Yawn, dot, 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 when is Sosa coming back? That was my first reaction, honestly.
I told my son, my son is a huge baseball fan and a really big Cubs fan, and he said, you know, he was not on board either. You know, I'm getting a sort of mixed reaction from our show today.
He didn't play for the team. He has nothing to do with the team, never had anything to do with the team, and he gets a World Series ring.
Yeah, but you're not, but the Bartman thing strikes me as a bit of a non sequitur.
That's what I'm talking about. I don't understand why he gets a ring. And if Moise Salou doesn't throw a tantrum like a little five-year-old, we never even know who Steve Bartman is.
Okay, so we do. He did throw a tantrum. They did implode. Bartman got death threats and has...
On this station.
Oh, really? People are calling in here?
People
I mean, I shouldn't be surprised. Yeah,
yeah,
we had the game. So why did the Cubs do it then? I mean, this is kind of an odd time. It wasn't for the parade wasn't yesterday. All the ring ceremonies have come and gone. What are the other logical sort of signposts in a season? Opening day, first game of the season, I don't know, some sort of anniversary. But it's like, you know, they're idle today, for crying out loud.
Here's the quote from the Cubs. They gave a statement. Quote, we hope this provides closure on an unfortunate chapter of the story that is perpetuated throughout our quest to win a long-awaited World Series. While no gesture can fully lift the public burden he has endured for more than a decade, we felt it was important. Steve knows he has been and continues to be fully embraced by this organization.
It makes it sound, I read the thing earlier too, and I thought Bartman's statement was pretty remarkable.
He said he didn't deserve a ring, so he knows.
But both statements from the Cubs and Bartman make it sound like this guy has endured a lot. Ask somebody who's had cancer or has a kid in combat right now what endurance is all about, what, you know, having to go through a struggle is. I don't know what it was like, but it sure sounds like from him and them, this guy was beaten up unfairly, and it's still kind of raw. Here's Bartman's statement. I humbly receive the ring not only as a symbol of one of the most important historic achievements in sports, but as an important reminder for how we should treat each other in today's society. My hope is that we can learn from my experience to view sports as entertainment and prevent harsh scapegoating, and to challenge the media and people like Sam Panionovich and opportunistic profiteers to conduct business ethically by respecting personal privacy rights and not exploit any individual to advance their own self-interest or economic gain. Wow, is that a long sentence.
The fact that it got that far, I'm with you, and I'm actually honored that Steve Bartman said my name in his statement. the fact that it got this far, I mean, you had, in all reality, you had Mark Pryor on the mound in Game 6 and Kerry Wood on the mound in Game 7. The fact that fans, Cub fans, went this far and staked outside Bartman's parents' house and threatened him and went that far, the fact that it actually went to those levels is embarrassing.
Do you give him the ring if you're the Cubs?
No, I wouldn't give him a ring.
Do you give Sammy Sosa a ring if you're the Cubs?
Does Bobby Dernier deserve a ring? Do all these former Cub players deserve rings that didn't play? I mean, I saw Randy Hundley. I love Randy Hundley. Randy Hundley wasn't on the team. He has a ring. They're giving rings away.
Randy Hundley has a ring?
He has a ring.
Was he a concessionaire afterwards? How did Randy Hundley get a ring? Oh, he's a part of the broadcast team.
They gave a lot of former players rings.
Okay, and they didn't give Sammy Sosa one?
John, if you walk around Wrigley Field, there are no remnants of Sammy Sosa.
I don't want to be entirely distracted by Sammy Sosa. That's not what this is about, but you've pointed out, and it sounds like it bugs you, that they've purged themselves of all Sosa.
They've erased him. They've used whiteout. He hit 545 home runs for the Cubs. He helped bring baseball back after the strike.
Why do you think they did that?
He came from the Sox.
He was a little selfish, and he walked out on the team in his last season.
Literally,
there
he
was
walked
that
he was
incident.
Out of the building before a game was over.
That's true.
I think that was the nail in the coffin.
But if this regime can build the bridge between Steve Bartman and peace, why can't you do it with one of the most popular players that ever actually put on a jersey?
Okay, so if your choice was, that's an interesting proposition. We're going to start building bridges, even out of the blue, out of thin air. We're going to go, let's make up with. Who do you start with?
Sammy Sosa. He's number one.
I do not think the people listening to you right now are hoping that we reach out to Sammy Sosa and make better, even though he has a completely pink face now.
You know, instead of any more statues of former players, they should just erect bridges around the park.
We can build it all the way to the Dominican.
Our Sammy Sosa bridge, our Steve Bartman bridge.
No, people.
Our Brent Brown bridge.
People do not want to see a Sosa statue. They would walk their dogs to a Sammy Sosa statue in this town.
I'm not even saying that he deserves a ring.
Yes, you are.
No, I didn't say that. I said the fact that we ignore history and ignore that this guy ever played for your team, you can't see any video of him. There are no jerseys for sale of him. It's like he's been blown off the map.
You know, the thing that surprises me, I'm not arguing with you entirely, Sam. I mean, I think what Bartman did was well said. So I like that element of this. If Steve Bartman wants to come out from behind the rock after 14 years and say, look, we ought to treat each other with more civility and remember that sports is entertainment, I think that's a message we can't hear too many times. So I'm open to that, right? I think that's a fair statement for him to make. But I think that the Cubs embracing the Bartman story, when you think of Bartman, it's not just that he physically got in the way of Moises Alou. It's the whole thing about a curse and a jinx, which is bunk. And I think that whole arena the Cubs need to stay away from and never really did embrace. They didn't. When people wanted to bring goats to the games and acknowledge that, actually, they did allow a goat into one of the games in an 03, which was shocking to me. I think they did. Am I right about that? Didn't they let somebody bring a goat in?
There was one in sometime, but I don't know if it was 03.
But I don't think that's a path the Cubs should go down.
Dusty Baker had the exorcism, didn't he, in the dugout?
Probably.
They tried everything.
Okay, but I just...
They did try everything.
For but But that Bartman represents that whole phenomena, that whole arena, as much as anything.
Doesn't
else.
He represent failure, though? He represents failure, if anything. They were five outs away from going to the World Series.
Moises Alou represents failure.
Well, then why did he get a ring?
Why did Moises Alou get a ring?
Why did Steve Bartman get a ring?
I don't know why he got a ring.
You can't tell me that this man deserves a World Series championship
ring.
You're
not listening to what John's trying to say. What John is saying is that with the whole curse sort of thing ends with him giving a ring to Bartman. It's over now. We won the World Series. Bartman is the living sort of representative of that. It's behind us. He now has a World Series ring.
That's fine.
The other side of that sword, though, is that saying, we blew up in 03 because of a curse, and that's crap.
Yes.
We did not blow up because of a curse.
No.
Bartman represents the curse. To sort of put that to bed acknowledges that it's legitimate, and it's not. It's not.
They can put to bed the talk of a curse, not that there was a literal curse.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what?
We're not losers anymore.
But we weren't. We weren't. I mean, you know, except that we had a terrible first half. Everybody's happy in Cubland. We are the defending World Series champions. We don't even need to have this conversation now. Why didn't they do this during the parade? Why didn't they put him on one of the floats? He could have been in one of those little clown cars, maybe at the very back of it, going just doing zigzags behind.
I'm picturing that board meeting. All right, what can we do? What can we do? Give us something to do in the end of July. I got it. Yes, Terry, what do you got? Let's give Steve Bartman a ring.
Let's go 9-2 after the break. I mean, that would be a thing to do. Oh, wait, we're doing that. That's what fans are interested in talking about. Why do they want to introduce this? I don't know. Listen, I would like to say that I have ask me the question I've been asking people. Do you give him the ring or not?
No, I don't.
Okay, now you got to ask me that.
Would you give him a ring? You don't even know.
No, I would not.
Okay,
I would
why?
Not be because it's so irrelevant right now. Ask me if I would have given him a ring for the parade, if I would have put him in the parade with a ring.
Would you have put him in the parade, given him a ring then?
Hey, Steve, do you put him in the parade and give him a ring then? Let's go into the sports booth, too. Hey, Kevin, do you give Bartman a ring?
100%.
You do?
I wouldn't have brought him to the parade. He wouldn't have went to the parade even if they invited him.
The guy wants
to live his own little private life, and I like this. He doesn't have to come and be in the public spotlight and throw the first pitch. Now he can sit at home and do what he's been doing the past 13 years, living a private life, and he can sit back and admire his World Series championship
ring. It makes you wonder why they did this from his perspective. Why, do you think that Bartman wants this today?
The first part of his statement reads as follows: although I do not consider myself worthy of such an honor.
It doesn't mean he doesn't deserve a ring. I'm not even saying he deserves
a ring. He's not worthy of the honor. I mean, that's a weird statement.
What position did he play, Kev?
Okay, I'm not saying he's necessarily deserving of the honor, but it's just simply a nice gesture. Can't we just leave it at that? It's a nice gesture by the Cubs to, you know, they're holding up the weight of the idiotic Cub fans that made this guy's life a living hell for a few years, and he's had to live his private secret life because of a fan base that was irrational and idiotic about the entire situation.
But
so to me, it's just simply a nice gesture. The Cubs gave part-time Wrigley employees rings. Are you all, you know, hands in the air about that, Sam? Who cares? It's a nice gesture. The Blackhawks did it with the entire Blackhawks organization and their staff and former players. It's just what teams do now.
Because they're on staff. This guy isn't on staff. He never was on staff. No, never.
No.
He's not a part of the Cubs family.
Let me ask you guys this. Susan, you're on WGN Radio. Hey, Susan, are you there?
Yes. You guys are driving me crazy. You know what? I think, Sammy Sosa was just some not baseball savvy, but the Cubs used the heck out of him. I remember that year going to games. We'd all go crazy because he'd run around with his flag. He really...
God, remember he'd sprint out to right field?
Yeah, he'd run around.
That was awesome. I mean, listen, at the time, hindsight's 20/20, but that was awesome.
And you know what? He committed himself to the team. Okay, great. You know what? How about Chris Sale tore up his jersey? So all that, but then, you know, everybody.
Okay, hold on. I appreciate, you know, you're onto something there. I appreciate the call. Kevin, Sam, you want to comment on that?
I'm with her.
The Cubs are all high and mighty, like, oh, no, we won't have anything to do with Sosa. Nobody milked the cow better than the Cubs when Sosa was hitting
home
runs.
They used him for everything. And then he left. They didn't like the way the relationship ended, and you haven't heard from him ever since.
This texter says...
Oh, he heard from him in February when he compared himself to Jesus Christ.
I don't know that it's important to... I mean, don't you see the clock stops on Sosa the day he left the team?
Yes.
So whatever he said or done afterwards, and in fact, he's kind of pathetic right now.
Right.
He's lost weight. His skin's two different shades than it was last you saw him.
You don't think the decision to pretty much ban him from the Cubs is attributed to that? I think it's thrown him down a very, very terrible rabbit hole.
I wouldn't lose any sleep over that if I were the Cubs. But here's a text. Give me a break. He had cork in his bat. He was juiced. He was a cheater. That's why we don't have anything to do with him. I mean, really, how do you... What have the Cardinals done with Mark McGwire? Do they embrace him? He was a hitting coach for a little while with them. Then he went out west.
But yeah, he's sort of been brushed away, but that's the whole steroid era. We went to batting practice. How many times did you bring your kids to batting practice at Wrigley to watch Sammy Sosa hit home runs?
I remember this. I can't believe we're still talking about Sammy Sosa now, but when Sosa would come to bat, you know how everybody's at the beer stands and hot dog stands? So, you know, any time of any game, people are out wandering around. When Sosa would come up, people would go running to the doors, up to the ramps. Like, I don't care if I got to pee. I don't care if I'm next in beer. People would run just to watch him strike out. His swings were the most entertaining things you've ever seen. And if he hit it, it was going to the moon.
The moon.
I've never seen anything like that. People just run for the doors when he was going to hit. You did not. You were there to watch Sammy Sosa have three or four at-bats, five at-bats. That was so much fun.
I didn't mean to bring him up into the forefront, but it's just I feel like the Cubs are picking and choosing their battles, and I think it should be blanketed over all past players. If you're going to give guys that hit 220 for their career a ring, you should give one of the most popular players that ever played for your franchise.
This is the weirdest thing.
Sort of accolade.
So Bartman gets a ring, no. Sosa gets a ring, yes.
Yes, yes, no, no. Should be the same.
Kevin,
what?
I don't know what that was. Kevin, what is your answer to Bartman gets a ring?
I love Steve Bartman getting a ring.
Okay, Sosa gets a ring?
Nah, I think they've pretty much decided to cut ties. And they are able to pick and choose their battles. They're a professional sports organization with a lot of money invested in a lot of different areas, so they can pick and choose which sort of PR battles they would
I'm
like.
I'm saying no and no, but not because one has to go with the other like you. Sosa burned his own bridge. And Bartman, I don't think... wants the publicity that this brings. So, you know what? If they gave it to him in a private ceremony, maybe he wears it at the office and somebody goes, hey, Steve, can you give me some of those? What's that ring on your finger? And then
he gets outed at work. Everyone's like, wait, you're Steve Bartman?
I think they know, which is also cool. I mean, we're talking about this guy like he's the abominable snowman or something. He lives and works in Chicago in an era where everybody has a phone with a camera, and he's been able to stay under the radar. You've got to embrace that. It's 2:52. All right, Sam, thanks for coming into our studio today. Kevin, I appreciate your thoughts. You got a hot mic over there, my friend. Whenever you want to join the conversation, I appreciate it. I intended to talk with you today about what's happened to football and the stunning results from these brain scans that they do with deceased players, not just NFL players, all the way down through college, high school, kids that have played high school football. 11 brains examined, 10 of them have that CTE, the chronic traumatic encephalopathy. It's amazing how if you play football and have enough hits, your brain is going to be damaged and you will have a difficult or shorter life. We'll get to that topic tomorrow. Between Scaramucci getting quit fired as the communications director for the White House and the Bartman story, which broke just before we went on the air, we've pushed those two topics to the side. We haven't even had a chance to talk about Chris Christie with his nachos at the Brewers game. And by the way, if you had to pick a side on this one, I am not on the side of the Cubs fan who tells Christie that he sucks. He does suck. He knows that. His family knows that. Why do you have to remind the guy of that?
He's trying to enjoy a baseball game.
He's just trying to enjoy it. Unless he's sitting on your lap spilling nacho cheese on you, shut up. Just shut up already. Listen to this call, guys. It's 2:57 on WGN. This is John Williams. Sam Panionovich is here. Rose team is assembling. Kevin, you can chime in all you like. But Rob has an interesting sort of philosophical question. Hey, Rob, are you there?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's your thought?
I'd like to throw a little spin on it. I mean, let's think about it this way. Each value, each valued asset to a winning team gets a ring. So at what point does the value of the ring go down because you give it to someone like you know, Hartman?
And you don't mean literal financial value. You just mean, you know,
monetary value.
Monetary. Well, I don't know what happens to monetary value, but I think the significance is diluted, too, if you hand him out like trinkets when, in fact, Chris Bryant had to make that throw across the infield. What's your guys' reaction to that?
I sort of get that. I think the value probably would go up, though, now that Bartman has one. But I would just say that...
It goes up now that Bartman has one?
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know about going up. It doesn't change monetarily either.
To me, though, it's not like anyone's going to be sitting around like, wow, you have one of those World Series rings, so does Chris Bryant. You guys both must have equally contributed to that World Series. Everyone knows Chris Bryant was more important to the World Series win than some guy who works part-time at Wrigley 2 months out of the year.
You know there are three tiers of the ring, right, John? There's the player's ring and the owner or management ring. That's got all the diamonds and the rubies and all that jazz. Then there's a secondary ring, and then there's the third tier ring, which is for like team employees, parking, security. Bartman got the player's ring with all the jazz on it.
Well, he did play left field for a little bit in that game.
If he sells that ring, oh my God, we'll have a whole new wrinkle to this story. Rokon Anna Devlantis just strolling into the studio now.
I'm personally very, very excited for him about this. I think it's great.
If he is. Bartman does not want to be on the radio. No. I think as a person or as a topic.
He doesn't want to be part of the media coverage. 14
years later.
And can you blame him after how maligned he was and what he went through for something that was wasn't his fault. We all know that. Wasn't his fault.
Well,
they lost the game. You pin it on him.
Well,
it's the Cubs' fault for losing.
It doesn't matter now. It doesn't matter. It's 2017.
God, are we a
they
tortured
are the,
city?
Here's
or
the problem.
We are still
2016
debating
world champions. It's fine.
Well, what if the Cubs don't play as well now?
That's what I was thinking.
Is that what you're talking about?
That's
a whole new curse.
Oh, that's God. When things
it's
happen.
It's the curse of the ring. And I'm telling you, well, that's stupid. Of course it's stupid. All of that is stupid. And yet now the Cubs and Bartman have just walked right back into that.
I did have a friend text me. You guys will love this. He said, well, if the Cubs didn't win the World Series, he wouldn't have gotten a ring. Oh, yeah. 2 + 2 = 4 as well. No. Thank you for that.
You know what? I was actually tracking on that point, but you're right. It's actually a moot point.
If they don't win the World Series, he doesn't get a ring.
But a class move by the Cubs. So
that is awesome.
All right. We got that. You got the Scaramouche. You can't do the Fandango anymore.
Well, he did the Fandango right out of the White House. Although we're told he's going to show up for work tomorrow at the Import-Export Bank.
Okay, fine. Huh. I don't even know what that means. I don't know what that is.
Yes, he's going to be I'm going to be outside counsel. I'm going to be outside. That's basically what he's
counseling.
Telling people. I'm counseling them from the outside. Yeah, you know what? Wait till you hear the very beginning of the show. We've done a little, you know, for the many, 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 many hours of service that Anthony Scaramucci has given to the United States of America. We're going to play his greatest hits in a montage of the 11 days that were Anthony Scaramucci.
In the words of one of our texters a little while ago, I have milk older than this in my fridge.
I think I do.
That is totally
good point.
The freshness date on Scaramucci has lapsed. The milk in your fridge has not. Aww. Have a good show, guys.